Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I read these words from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who had called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw that what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers and the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. This is the gospel of our Lord. My dear friends in Christ, tonight we'll consider the rest of Jesus in the garden that is called Gethsemane. Tonight is known as the betrayal, for that's what we call it. In fact, it reads on the night when he was betrayed. Have you heard those words before? Like every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it. We hear it all the time, and we know what it means. Jesus Christ was betrayed. But you also realize in that garden there were other people that were betrayed as well. Take his disciples, for example. Disciples means follower. And when Jesus walked ashore the Sea of Galilee, he said, "Come, follow me." And Simon, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew dropped their necks, followed Christ, becoming his disciples. But yet on this night, in the garden, these disciples were no longer followers, but they became leaders. For Luke writes, when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And so Jesus' followers take action. Oh yes, asking a question, but not waiting for an answer, simply taking it into their own hands and taking the lead. The servant is struck. His ear is severed. The followers of Christ are transgressors of God's good and gracious will. Disciples, hardly. Their actions betray them. They were not disciples, but something far less at that moment in time. But they weren't the only ones who were betrayed. Take, for example, Judas. Lest you forget, Luke reminds us that he's a disciple of Christ. But his lips are filled with poison, and his kiss is deadly. And he approaches Jesus as a disciple to kiss the master. But the crowd behind him betrays the man. And so we have another betrayal in our text. One of the 12. On that night, Judas was something far less than the name would suggest. But lest we forget the chief priest and the elders also, for they came with the temple guard with clubs and sticks to take Jesus under arrest. Although they had often complained of the oppressive Roman rule, now they began to use force to impress upon their rule, their norm. Oh, sitting in the temple, they would listen to Jesus' teaching and they would attempt to fight back with scripture, but to no avail. But now on this night, they are fighting with swords and clubs and using the temple guard. Oh, yes. These prisoners to foreign rule now try to rule in ways that are foreign to God. So they too have been betrayed. Leaders of God's people now betray with weapons and clubs. Oh yes, they are far less than their name would suggest. But you see, Luke enables us to see in the story of our Lord's betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane that there's something there to be said to every single one of us. Sometimes you can't trust what you see. Jesus is right when he says, "This hour is your hour when darkness reigns." You see, the hour of darkness is never a full frontal attack in broad daylight with armies being armies and weapons inflicting judgment. No, the hour of darkness is stealth. It's evil. It remains hidden for others cannot see, but it does lead and it does betray. Oh, sure, people may kiss and pray and preach about peace, but underneath it all lies a heart that is ready for war. Perhaps you've experienced this darkness in your own life. It usually catches you by surprise. For some of you, you're now retired. With corporate downsizing and the turn in the market, every penny seems precious to us. Unfortunately, we begin to neglect the poverty of others. We trim away at our charitable giving. After all, it's our money, right? And suddenly we're more concerned about our future rather than the present of those who surround us that God would like us to call our neighbors. But it's only the Word of God. And we have been betrayed. You speak about justice. There are times you speak about the love of God for the poor, but in this darkness, your actions betray you. The power of darkness doesn't look dark at first. It's really kind of deceptive. One day you're filled with all this zealous self-righteousness about the kingdom of God, pointing towards a world and how it must has gone astray from God's holy and precious word. Later on, you discover what's been hiding underneath all the time, your religious zeal and your proclamation of a living God, is a burning anger and hatred towards our neighbor. The fact of the matter is, there's not one shred of desire for them to have eternal salvation, for we say nothing at all. Luke's account alerts you and me to this hour of darkness. And when it confronts us, we must confess this evening that it so easily creeps in and begins to skew everything we see and betrays even you and me. Yet this is not the only story that Luke tells us this evening. For in his account in the gospel, Jesus does more than reveal the hour of darkness was upon them. Jesus does more because he reveals the love of an eternal God for those who are literally lost in the darkness of sin and death. In the midst of that darkness, Jesus Christ points out the deception that's taking place. There, Luke records that he points to Jesus seeking to save the lost. His disciples begin a fight. Jesus is there to bring peace. There's a slave who is injured, and Jesus is there to bring healing. His enemies come, and he willingly submits himself to suffering for your salvation and for mine. In each case, Jesus meets the hour of darkness not by withdrawing, but by bringing into the world the eternal kingdom of God. Although he will not act in his own defense, Jesus works in the defense of others. My dear friends in Christ, have you ever experienced the power of darkness in your life? Have you ever been deceived by the lie of the devil? Have you ever found how easily it is to slip among us as well and to overshadow the kingdom of God that dwells in this place to deceive us and to lead us astray? Well, fear not. For today our Lord comes. He is your Savior. He offers you forgiveness through His Word this night. In the midst of our illness, Jesus provides healing and restoration. In the midst of the struggles of life which we face, Jesus Christ bids us peace, for He is the Prince of Peace. Oh, and each time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we hear those words. On the night when He was betrayed. And we know what it means. You see, with that statement, we are remembering the hour of darkness that reigned in the garden that night. We remember the times when we have been less than the name Christian would insinuate. We've lived a life unworthy of the calling that we've received on the night He was betrayed. But yet we hear another voice. On the night He is betrayed, Jesus continues to say, "Take, eat. Take, drink. This is given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins." Dear friends, tonight, whether that hour of darkness occurs in the garden or in your home or in your job place, God's love remains. It is eternal. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We rise together.